Lord, we thank you, God, for the living hope that we have in Christ, and living hope that is alive and life-giving to our spirit and soul. And Lord, you called us to this one hope that we might find true joy and peace, and just a life of hope that look forward to the fulfillment of your promises and of life eternal with you. So Lord, we want to ask you to bless this time and be with us. Thank you that, as you say, for where two or three come together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So thank you for being here. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, well, why did I decide to talk about living hope? Because I really enjoy living hope. And especially, you know, I like to evangelize. And so recently I haven't been able to as much because our training center required a lot of attention. But starting this week, I went back to evangelizing. So a couple of days I've evangelized. But when I evangelize and share the gospel, especially through the bridge, when I get to the point where, you know, how Jesus died, but because he had no sin, he resurrected. And in the same way, if we repent and believe in Christ and all our sins are washed away, forgiven, and then we die when Jesus comes, we too will be resurrected because we've been forgiven by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in us. So whenever I get to that part, you know, my soul bubbles up. Wow. You know, this life is not the end. When I die, there is a hope of resurrection to be with God forever. So when I am reminded of that, every time I share the gospel, my soul just bursts out within with hope and life-giving hope. So anyway, I just wanted to share with you something more about this. And hopefully we can get more broader understanding of this. Well, in the scripture, this comes from actually 1 Peter 1, 3 through, it goes on. I think the break is 3 through 16. But it comes from this first verse of the start of this subject. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow, there's a lot of juicy stuff in there, but it says here, you know, God the Father and the Son, according to his great mercy, cause us to be born again, and to what? To a living hope. And so this living hope must be something really precious. And so what is this living hope? And we're going to talk about that. Another passage we need to be reminded is Romans 15:13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the living hope is related to the God of hope. God is a God of hope. And through believing and through joy and peace, you know, he wants us to abound in the hope that is in Christ and in the Father. And it says also by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the God the Father is involved, God the Son is involved, and God the Holy Spirit is involved in bringing this hope and abounding hope into our lives. So, and then Ephesians 4:4-6, it says, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. So as there is one body of Christ and one spirit, there is one hope. And there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. So this is one of those one thing that we are called to, and this that is one hope that is a living hope. Okay, with that, whet our appetites, let us move on to understand a little bit more about what hope is and what the living hope might be referring to. So just, you know, Google searched it, hope. What is hope? You know, definition of hope. So this is what came out. It says, the definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. Is that true? Is that what hope is?
Sure.
Okay, well, this is somebody who typed it in there. I don't think it was Expedia. Not Expedia, what is the other one?
Google?
No, there, you know, the definition.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah, encyclopedia or something. So, but anyway, it's up there. So I think it's a somewhat trustworthy, I guess. A feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen is what hope is. But what is a living hope? A biblical understanding of the living hope is essentially a life-giving hope. A hope that gives life in our system. In our spirit, soul, and body, there is a life that's kind of added to our being because of this hope. It's a life-giving hope. So when I, like I said, when I was shared the gospel and I realized how Jesus resurrected and I too can be resurrected, and I'll be with the Lord, I'll be with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'll be with my dad as well. You know, I'll be with all my loved ones. You know, there's a lot of hope. And that just kind of refreshes me. I'll share it with you more later. It's a sure future hope that impacts our present life. Something about the future that we're hoping for, but it's a certainty. It's almost like faith. Faith is what we, assurance of what we hope for, you know, and comes out there later. So a sure future hope that impacts our present life. It gives life today. A hope that is present and a future grace. So somehow this hope is a living hope. So that means grace is blessed unto our life, and also grace in the future. Future grace. The Bible talks about future grace. Wait a minute. Isn't that somebody wrote about that? Future grace.
This is true.
Yeah, but there's actually greater grace. Mm-hmm. Anyway, another definition. These are definitions that I kind of came up with, you know, referring to the scripture. Present encouragement, comfort, and strength prompted by some future expectation, desire, fulfillment. This is my definition. So you guys can say this is a quote from Pastor MGA. Ming-a. All right. So, but anyway, present encouragement, comfort, and strength prompted by some future expectation, desire, and fulfillment. So there is a life-giving aspect of today about this hope. And so if you refer to the scripture, we have 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved, well, you know what? I'm getting boring. My voice is just not as wonderful as Yvonne's.
No.
So Yvonne, you can read that part right there.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word.
Next one.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen.
So there's a relationship between hope and faith. So faith is the assurance and conviction of things hoped for. assurance and conviction of things hoped for. And if we're talking about living hope, that surely brings assurance and conviction. But this eternal comfort and good hope is by grace. It's something freely bestowed upon us because of God, who's a God of hope. Amen. So there it is, the definition of what hope is and what living hope could be referring to. So first, let's just kind of gain some insights from this passage, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. So let's have somebody read that for us. Is Brent here? Read 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
So let's see what this passage says about living hope. First of all, in verse 3, second point is verse 3, third point is verse 3, 2, and fourth point is from verse 4, and fifth point is from verse 5. Okay, so that's pretty simple. So here it goes. First is, according to his great mercy. So it says here, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, and it goes into giving us to be born again to a living hope. So first, this living hope is a, you know, we talked about grace. It's God's grace, but it is of God, the Father, and the Son's great mercy to bestow upon us this life-giving hope. Amen? And it's from not from ourselves, and it's not from this world, but it's from God himself. And because of his mercy and grace that he bestowed upon us this life-giving hope. And how do we acquire this? In the same verse, it says, praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. So in order to enjoy this living hope, you have to be what? Born again. If we're not born again, it's going to be really difficult to enjoy the living hope that God gave to us out of his great mercy and grace. You know, God wants to shower upon us his great mercy and grace and this living hope. But in order for us to enter into even knowing what this is, we need to be born again. We need to be born again. And you know, 1 John talks about what it means to be born again. And Book of John, Jesus talks about, you know, what it means to be born again. Born from above. You know, born from above. I think Nicodemus came and he wanted to know, you know, the truth. And Jesus says, you need to come into the light. He came at nighttime, kind of hiding from his friends. He didn't want to be associated with Jesus. But he said, you need to come out to the light. So you need to give up that, you know, desire to be reputable amongst your friends. You know, reputation was a big idol. So Jesus challenged him to be willing to surrender his reputation to be associated with him. So that was something that he needed to be willing to do to be born again, born from above. And, you know, there's another example. I mean, after that comes a Samaritan woman, right? Samaritan woman talks about, it talks about how she had five husbands and the one she was living with was not her husband. So her idolatry was to enjoy or be secure with the love of a man. She went from one man to the next man to the next man. And that was her water too, in a way, like the water that she drew every day. But Jesus said, if you come to me and ask me, I will give you water and that will quench your thirst to eternal life. And so Jesus called on people individually what they needed to be willing to surrender and choose Christ, to believe in Christ, trust Christ, to put their faith in Christ, to change their allegiance from what their hopes are, what their idolatry is, to Christ. And so, you know, that whole topic is a topic worthy of message. So you need to be born again to enjoy the living hope. There's no ands or ors or buts about it. We need to be born again. And so make sure our salvation is sure. And the next thing, same verse, it says, praise be to the God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going ahead. Resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So he ushered us into this living hope by his great mercy and grace, and to be born again so we can enjoy the living hope, but through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And of course, Jesus needed to resurrect to overcome, you know, died with sin, all men sin, but he overcame death and the world and sin, right? He resurrected because death could not hold him. So resurrection symbolizes Jesus conquering the enemy, the sin, and the death, and the world. But it also refers to the fact that a person, a man, can come back to life. And so through his resurrection, yes, he redeemed us from our deadness of sin by the blood of Christ, but he actually overcame death itself. So that means we too can be resurrected. Exactly what I was talking about when I was sharing the gospel. Every time I come to that point of, because Jesus resurrected, I too can be resurrected to be with God forever. So this is pretty important to come to understand, but also to believe, but also to enjoy this living hope and the fact that we can be resurrected. Fourth thing is in verse 4 now. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. So this living hope we were born again into through the resurrection of Jesus Christ is also to obtain an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, which will not fade away. It's an inheritance in the heavenly places. Like Ephesians chapter 1, it says, he has blessed us with blessings in the heavenly places. All the blessings in what entails in heaven, and also inheritance that we have on this earthly time. It is all encompassing. We have received an inheritance. And so that is part of the living hope that we can enjoy. Lastly, verse 5, it says here, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. So this living hope through the resurrection and the obtaining of this inheritance will be protected by God through our faith for the salvation that is going to be revealed when Jesus comes. So there's a kind of a hope of his second coming as well. So this living hope involves God protecting this living hope, but until the coming of Jesus. and that should excite us as well. Well, so this is according to this passage, but I just wanted to share from the broader biblical perspective of what a living hope is further. Living hope is a life-giving joy. Living hope is a life-giving joy. If you have, if you're enjoying this living hope, it should bring joy to your soul. Jeremy, is your soul like throbbing with joy because of this living hope? Jeremy's enjoying it. People here on Zoom, are you enjoying the living hope and your heart is throbbing with joy? I often say my heart bubbles up with joy, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. You know? So when your hope is on these things, then your heart should be bubbling up with joy. And also it would help you to do something else. We'll talk about that. So here it is quickly. I don't want to drag it on. Simply put, the living hope is a life-giving joy, joy of eternal life and salvation. Everybody knows, not well, those of you who've been getting followed up should have been memorizing 1 John 5:11-12. Let's read or recite that together. Okay, 1 John 5:11-12. Okay, ready, go. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You know, this is a basic assurance of salvation passage. And so this living hope has to do with assurance of salvation we're hoping for. So it's a joy of salvation. Essentially, joy of eternal life, joy of salvation. So when we know that we have Christ in us, and with Christ is eternal life, so if I have Christ, then I must have eternal life. To know that, you know, this life is not the end. When I die, I'll be resurrected and be with God forever. You know, my niece, when they were growing up, I was hanging, they were younger. Now they're so busy and they're making a lot of money, so they're not around me. But when they're younger, you know, I was the activity coordinator. Every month we would do something. So anyway, one of my niece, Ellie, you know, she somehow acquired this like fear of death. Not only her friend, both of them somehow started being afraid of dying. And so, because they didn't know what to expect if you die, fear of death. They just didn't have any hope thereafter that they die. So, but anyway, it was a fear that was not healthy. It was not normal. So I prayed over her and I commanded the enemy to depart. And so, and it was another niece who couldn't go to sleep as well. And so, when I pray for her and pray for another niece, suddenly the spirit of fear left them. And so she wasn't afraid of death anymore. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that many people would be afraid of dying, especially during this coronavirus. Everybody's afraid of catching the coronavirus, and perhaps that they would not, you know, fear that they would not get over it. Although I think majority of the people get over it, and minority of the people who might have existing condition may struggle with it. But there's like spirit of fear going around during this coronavirus. But if you know that you have eternal life, according to this passage, because we believe in Jesus Christ and Jesus is in me, then we should have joy instead of fear. Joy of eternal life and joy of salvation. Okay, you know, this is a simple illustration to communicate this passage. It says, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. This pen is eternal life, people. What is this pen? Eternal life. And this life in his son, this Bible is Jesus, the son. What is the Bible? Jesus, the son. What is the pen? Eternal life. It says here, and this is a testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son in their hearts and their lives have what? Eternal life. He who does not have the son of God does not have eternal life. Pretty simple, right? Do you have Jesus in your heart and life? If Jesus is in you, you have eternal life. Woo! Praise the Lord! You are saved. Okay, B part is, second one is, living hope is a life-giving joy, joy of resurrection on that day. I talked about that already. Let's see who's out there. I got the name. Eunji is alone at UC Irvine, so she can read. We don't want to leave her out. Okay, Eunji, can you hear me?
Yes.
Why don't you read the next passage, John 6, 39 through 40. Go ahead.
This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. John 6:39-40.
Whoa, look at the 40. It says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. Okay, so that's part A, joy of eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. Oh my goodness, not only is eternal life guaranteed to us in the Son himself will raise us up on the last day. Even though we die, when Jesus returns in the cloud, those who are dead in Christ will rise first. And those who are alive will be lifted up in the air to be with Christ and God the Father forever. Wow, resurrection. Resurrection of the dead. Even though we die, we will be resurrected. Those who believe in Christ. You know, this week I visited my dad's gravesite. I haven't gone there for a while. Actually, what I did was I bought a flower to take it to his gravesite like twice. But because I was busy, that the flower kind of withered away twice. So this time I bought it on the day that I was going. Yeah, that's the best way. Don't just buy it and leave it and say, I'm going to go. I withered two set of flowers. So I finally did buy a pot of flower, and then I went to the gravesite, and then I was reminded once again. I remember what I said when my dad was being lowered and being buried. I said, Dad, I will see you on the resurrection day. When Jesus comes, the dead in Christ will rise first, and if I'm dead too, then we will both be raised up at the same time. If I'm alive, Jesus is coming, you know, then dead in Christ rise first, and me too. And so I told him, I will see you on the resurrection day. And that God brought amazing peace over me. And there was a joy of the fact that my dad will be resurrected and I will be resurrected. Everyone who believes in Christ will be resurrected because Jesus himself will raise him up. Jesus himself raised him. So if you are a believer in Christ and Jesus is in you, you have eternal life. On that day, when Jesus comes, he will raise you up on that last day. Amen? That is a hope. That's a sure hope. It's not like, I hope it happens, but it's a hope that will happen for sure. And we can put our faith in it. Faith is the assurance and conviction of what we hope for. We hope that we will be resurrected, but we have faith that, and that means assurance and conviction that it will happen. And that brings the living hope alive in us. Amen. Next one is living hope is a life-giving joy, joy of being held in the hands of the Father and the Son. Joy of being held in the hands and the Father and the Son. So if you read John 10, 27 through 29, Jesus said, I will give eternal life to them. If we are Christ's sheep, Jesus will give us eternal life again. And he says, they will never perish. We will not. We belong to Christ. Christ is in us. We are his sheep. And if we are his sheep, Jesus has given us eternal life, and we will not perish. This is a promise. The way he describes this, however, it says, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is saying, no one will snatch them out of my hand. But also, my Father is greater than I. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Wow. Amazing. All right. I need a hand. Okay, Ed, come on over. Come over the computer and give me a hand. There you go. This is Ed. What Jesus is saying is, you know, my sheep hears my voice. Oh, Ed is my sheep. He hears my voice and knows me and follows me. And to my sheep, Jesus says, I will give eternal life and he will not perish. Ed will not perish. In fact, I will hold on to him. Nobody can snatch them out of my hand, Jesus says. And then Father is greater than I, and the Father is holding on to him. No one can snatch them out of my hand and the Father's hand. Go ahead, Ed, try to run away. Ed loses faith and he lets go, but then still Jesus and the Father is holding on no matter what. So if you belong to Christ, you know, you can't run away. You can try, but Jesus and the Father is holding on to you no matter what, because you belong to Jesus. You are Christ's sheep. Amen? But look at this in the previous section, part B. It says, first part of John 6:39, part B, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing. The Father, the sheep that the The sheep that the Father gives to Jesus, Jesus says, I lose none. If the Father has given a person to Christ, Christ will not lose a single sheep. Whoa, why? Because he's holding on to him and the Father is holding on to him. So once we are Christ's sheep, we belong to Christ, Christ will not lose us. Whoa, what a comfort. Is that a comforting living hope? Amen. So the fourth thing is the joy of election. You know, let's have Richard. Are you up there, Richard? It's been a long time. How are you doing?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, Richard, go ahead and read D. The joy of election. We are elected. Go ahead.
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Okay. Okay, let's see. D? I changed the verse. Okay, it's election, foundation of the world. He chose us as for him, adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, you know, it speaks about how God chose us even before he knew us even before the foundation of the earth. And he chose us. Now, what is involved in that, I don't think we have the spiritual breath to understand that. That's in the wisdom of God. He chose us from the foundation of the earth to be blameless and holy. He predestined us to be adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure of his will. And so if you were blessed with faith to believe in Jesus, you know, I'm not sure how you come to be saved. It could be through your family or somebody came to you to share the gospel. But when you came to a place where you understood the gospel, you understood what the Bible is saying, and if you have come to a faith, God has given you faith, because faith is a gift. God stirs up faith through the word of God. Faith comes from the word, and the faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So when we hear the word of God, faith can be stirred up. But if God has given you the faith, and then you embraced it by believing and accepting, then you are chosen. If you were stirred up with faith and you responded with receiving Christ, believing in Christ, then you could be considered as one of the elect, one who is adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ himself. Do you believe that? If you don't, believe it. You are elected. You know, when I was playing, I don't know where. I think ever since elementary school, you know how they play team game, and then you have to kind of pick your team. Yeah, basketball particularly. So yeah, so there's a bunch of kids, you know, standing there, and there's a couple of captains who are normally pretty good in basketball. They start choosing. I want him. You know, they go back and forth and until nobody's left. But you know, the thing is, you don't want to be the last one there. You know, unpicked, not picked. But when you are picked in the first round, you feel so good. Oh my goodness. This guy who's pretty good in basketball wants me, you know? You feel really excited. Well, you know, if you could get excited about being picked as a first man in the basketball game, just think how much it is great to be picked by God. It's amazing. You have been elected. You know, one time I was in my midlife sometimes, and I was going through a revival. And I came to a place where I realized, my goodness, I've been elected by God. You know, God chose me before the foundation of the earth, and I've been adopted as his son. I am elected by God. And I was really excited. I come to really rejoice in this election. I've been chosen by God. And then I met a friend that week, and we were just kind of sharing what God's been speaking to us. And this other guy, he happens to be a pastor right now, and he said, I'm enjoying being elected by God. So there's another guy who says, I'm enjoying being elected by God. So I said, I think God is trying to affirm me of this. You know, there is a joy of being chosen by God. And that is part of the living hope. Being chosen by God is part of the living hope. Okay, without further ado, let's press on. The fifth one, joy of Holy Spirit affirming our salvation. You know, this living hope actually comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit really affirming our salvation. So go ahead. Let's have Sarah. Is Sarah out there? I don't think I've met her personally, but hello, Sarah.
The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Romans 8:16-17.
Amen. Amen. So it says here, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So everyone who believes genuinely in Christ received the Holy Spirit. And if you more you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will realize this more. The Holy Spirit will affirm to you, you belong to Christ. You are a child of God. So, you know, and that's why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, more of God's inheritance and the blessings are more realized. But when we are walking with God and filled with the Spirit himself is going to testify, you are my child. And if children, we are also heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ. So everything that is given to Christ is also given to us. So the fullness of God is in Christ, and full grace upon grace of Christ is in us. So we are heirs according to promise and with Christ. And it goes about suffering, but we'll talk about that later. So joy of the Holy Spirit affirming it, our salvation is part of the living hope. And it's the Holy Spirit who moves us with that affirmation and even to long for the things to come, the coming of Jesus. You know, it's just like even being excited about Jesus' second coming. How many of you are excited about Jesus is coming soon? You know, the Bible says soon and very soon, Jesus is coming, right? But many times we are kind of oblivious as to the reality of his soon coming. Because we're so involved in this world and we're distracted. Our hearts are scattered all over the place. You know, and we are not filled with the Spirit many times. But when we draw near to God and pray and let the Word of God dwell in us, the Holy Spirit fills us, and then we're more alert that Jesus is coming soon. And when we are filled with the Spirit, we also long to see Jesus come soon, because that's the time when we get, you know, raptured and we'll be with the Lord. That is, if we're alive. So I hope we would all desire to be filled with the Spirit and really allow the Holy Spirit to bless us with greater living hope as we long for his coming. Okay, the next one is joy of being in Christ and having the hope of glory. Okay, let's see. David. Who's David?
Yes, sir.
Oh, the seminary David. Okay. I thought we had another David. Okay. All right, David. Go ahead and read F.
Yes. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The joy of being in Christ and having the hope of glory. The mystery was revealed, the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And that mystery is revealed in Christ and Christ in us. And therefore, he is the hope of glory. So the way I understand this is Jesus lives in me. And if Jesus lives in me, he can do whatever, according to his will, he can do whatever he did in the Gospels. You know, in the four Gospels, Jesus cast out demons. He healed the sick. You know, he taught us, taught them, and taught the kingdom message. And, you know, everything that Jesus did in the Gospels, because Christ lives in us, he can accomplish it if we would call upon him and we would ask. So there is a hope of amazing power living in me through Christ and the Holy Spirit that he could glorify himself through my life. You know, we're doing a Bible study with one person and or a couple of people that, you know, when we struggle with things, we often wonder, like, why do I struggle with this? Why did God allow me to struggle with this? Well, you know, there's miracles that when we go through the miracles in the book of John, it says that so that the glory of God may be revealed. You know why you struggle with things and some things that you would like to change about yourself? Why is it there? So that you can call upon Jesus, rely in his resurrection power so that God could glorify himself through transforming your life. Worse, the things that you struggle with, even the better. No, that's not even the better, but you know, of course we don't want to struggle or give ourselves to, you know, things that we should not. But if we do struggle with things, why do you struggle with that? Because God wants to heal you and resurrect you from that to reveal his glory in your life and even to other people. Does that make sense? Amen. So, all right. So that's pretty much it. Let's go through it together. The living hope is a joy, life-giving joy. First A is what? Read it with me. Joy of eternal life and salvation. Second, joy of resurrection on that day. Third, joy of being held in the hands of the Father and the Son. Fourth, joy of election. Fifth, joy of the Holy Spirit affirming our salvation. Sixth, joy of being in Christ and having the hope of glory. Oh, wait a minute. We have six. Seven. Oh, joy of always setting the Lord before me. Okay, let's have Juan. Are you there?
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'm here. My camera is
off. Juan likes to share, so I have to give him an opportunity.
Okay. I've set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken.
You know, this is quoted in Acts 2:25, where Jesus is the one who is saying this. Jesus is saying, I have set the Lord, God the Father, continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You know, there was a brief moment where Jesus took all humanity's sin, briefly separated from the Father. How terrible that must have felt, being separated briefly because he took on all humanity's sin. But even in that time, it says here, I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. So the living hope is about constantly setting the Lord God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit before us. No matter what difficulty we're going through, Jesus was hanging on the cross when he said this. You know, Jesus was setting him, the Lord continually before him. And so the living hope is, even though I go through worst of suffering and hardship, because of the living hope that I have in Christ, of all the things we talked about, I could set the Lord continually before me, looking forward to that living hope. Amen. I want to share verse 11 too, but time is going. So my last point is, through the living hope, we can persevere. If we are enjoying this life-giving hope in us abundantly, this will help us to be full of zeal. I talked about zeal for the past 3 weeks in church, right? If we are enjoying this living hope, life-giving hope, daily, this enjoyment will usher us into having Christ's zeal, Christ's pure passion, holy passion. You know, if we don't enjoy this living hope, it's hard to have passion for Christ, you know, passion for the thing that he calls us. But when we enjoy this living hope, life-giving hope, more and more in us. Because of this hope, we want to pursue Christ. We want to even suffer for Christ. Okay, the last one. Okay, let's see. Eric from USC. Let's have Eric.
In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:6-9.
You greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, even if you're tested by fire, even if you're distressed by various trials, because you've been living a life of delighting in the life-giving hope in Christ, because you are full of hope. You know, can you imagine a person without hope, you know, really passing the test of distress? We just want to give up. When a person goes through distress with various trials and even testing by fire, if you're not a hopeful person, there's not much enthusiasm, there's not much purpose, there's not much zeal. But if you have hope in Christ of what to look forward to and what you're enjoying in Christ right now, you can persevere through distress, a various kind of trials, and even testing by fire. I bet you, I'm not sure what kind of test you're going through by fire or various trials of distress. I bet you your persevering level is probably proportional to your life-giving hope that you're enjoying or not. So, in order to pass these tests of fire and distress, and to for our faith to be found in praise and the glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus, so proof of our faith, you know, will be to the praise and the glory of honor and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We want to eagerly hope to live in this living hope. And if we are not so much, we need to pray. Jesus, reveal to me what this living hope is all about. Help me to be filled with the Spirit, so that by your power that I can enjoy this more, such that when trials and tribulation and testing comes by fire, because of this hope, that I would, my faith will be, you know, have proven character. And at the end, and in through it, that we will greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And it says, obtaining as an outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, your faith needs to be tested through fire and trials. Really, you know, your faith needs to be, yes, I believe, yes, I believe, yes, I believe, all the way to the end to be proven genuine. If you quit and say, I don't believe, I don't know if your faith is genuine. It's not works, but it's just those who are in Christ, we choose to believe, all the way to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we'll pass the distress by various trials, and we'll pass the test by fire. Our faith will be proven by, you know, just our willingness to persevere in this living hope. Anyway, I hope that for you. And you know, you actually know when a person is really full of living hope. They just bubble up. Well, there's a lot of hope in the person. May you be that. Lord, we thank you, God, for this time together to understand more about the living hope that we can have in Christ, and even, Lord, to enter into this by being born again and because of your resurrection, to even to have that hope of resurrection and to be elected by you and to be affirmed by your Holy Spirit, all these blessed inheritance that we received in Christ, would you help us to richly enjoy it to the fullest? So that, Lord, indeed, at your coming, that we would be full of inexpressible and joy and full of glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.